I love the Lord today so much, and I appreciate Him. We began a message last week. God really changed the theme of everything. He let it fit together so beautifully because we began a message that I have ministered along this line before. But under the heading and under the covering of cultivating a greatly grateful heart, we need to understand something about the love of God. I believe that that cultivating a grateful heart is really married to the idea of loving Him back for loving us. Everybody say loving Him back for loving us. We love Him because He first loved us is the biblical principle. You don't love Him because of the commandment to love Him, even though we should be willing to bow to Him as our God, our Lord, our Master, and our King. But Pamela doesn't love me because I have commanded her to love me. You married me. You're a Christian woman. I command you to love me. If I want her to love me from her heart, I can't do it by holding some legal argument over her that I am the head of the house and you owe it to me to love me with all of your heart. I can't solicit love from her heart that way. I can maybe solicit certain behaviors. Woman, I want pork chops, and I would like them stuffed pork chops tonight. And woman, go in thy kitchen and prepare thy husband as an act of thy love for me, and fix me the pork chops and stuff them with stuffing, and I'd like some cranberry sauce on the side. Amen. She could go fix the pork chops, and I could enjoy eating the pork chops. But I haven't got anything from her heart until it comes from her heart. Now, one thing you need to understand about God, He doesn't just want your obedience. God wants your heart. God's after your heart. Because He knows if He ever gets your heart, obedience just comes with it. Can you say amen? If a man love me, he will keep my commandments. And here's the good news about that. And it will not be grievous to him. He won't say, man, it's Sunday. I wish I could go fishing. But I got to go to church. So I'm going to go to church because I know that God will liable to get me if I don't. Did you know it's dangerous? Things can happen to you out there fishing. A man got stung by something jumped up in the boat and stung him. Sometimes one lady got speared with some kind of fish that jumped up in the boat and speared her with these stingray, whatever. I mean, bad things can, swordfish, yeah, went through her arm or something like that. I wouldn't want to go today to the bay and instead of coming to church, say, you know, I'm just going to go fish. I'd be afraid. I wouldn't want anybody to go with me. I wouldn't be responsible for what happened to you. Did you say amen? If you were with me. Amen. Somebody said, as long as I'm with a Christian, I'm not worried. Well, make sure it's not Jonah. Then you say, amen. You don't want to go where he ended up. Amen. I can come here while my heart's hunting, or my heart's at Tampa Bay, or my heart's at a ball game somewhere. But I can dutifully come here. But God doesn't have my heart. And He wants my heart. And He wants my heart first, and then my obedience. Because then He is receiving something real from me and authentic. My wife is a Christian woman, and these days when a lot of marriages have failed, others are failing, the divorce rate among Christians is coming up. You may have experienced that as a Christian. It takes two people to make this thing work. There are conditions over which sometimes we have absolutely no control. Sometimes we do. But the point is, amen, you can't keep people together. Here's what the world argues. All marriage is a piece of paper, a legal document. Marriage has to be more than just a legal document. Amen. Hearts should be knit together. Devotions and commitments should be made from the heart, and it should be sustained throughout our life. It takes two people to do that. One person can't do it. So I can't command that my wife stay with me. We're getting ready to celebrate 47 years of marriage coming up, not in the too distant future. We're grateful for that. Listen, Prince Charming didn't meet Sleeping Beauty. And we didn't get on a white steed. As I remember, it was a 54 Pontiac. It wasn't a Mustang. And it threw a rod when I went to get our wedding night supper at a burger stand in Brandon. Amen. It threw a rod. I never drove the car again. It was a wedding present from my daddy, a 1954 Pontiac Straight 8. And it was sharp to drive. I remember roaring up to a burger stand in Brandon to get our wedding meal. This was our wedding meal. And the lady brought the hamburgers and the French fries and the Cokes. And I was, going to get back to my new bride. We're going to celebrate. We're going to have hamburgers and French fries and cold Cokes. Have a wedding meal, a wedding feast. A good one, too. Amen. And well, when you hamburgers is great. Amen. And so I turned the key to crank up and boom, absolutely threw a rod right straight through the oil come out in the big pool in the bottom. And the waitress come out and said, "Oh, sir, I'm so sorry. You look like you've got a problem with your car." And I said, "You don't know the half of it. This is my wedding night. Amen. I can't get back to my woman. Can you say? This is, I don't care. Haul the car off. Let it sit. Get me back to my woman. Amen. I don't even care about the hamburger anymore. Actually, I wasn't that hungry." Just to let you know, that was our wedding night. I wanted to be with my wife. Amen. It's enough said. Remember back when that was enough? Could live on love for a while. Praise God. Amen. Well, here we are all these years later, and I can hold over her. Amen. The fact that she's a Christian, I'm a Christian, and I can quote the Word of God to her, and I can hold her to an account to the Word of God, and try to get obedience from her and reverence from her in my life by holding that over her constantly. And I may get some behavior. I may get some behavior from her that I won't do this for me, do that for me. But I don't have her heart. And I know I don't have her heart. Or I can provoke her as we're to provoke one another. Because this is how God operates. He wants us to operate like He operates. Provoke one another to what? To love and good works. How in the world am I going to provoke people to love and then the obedience, then the righteous deeds, then the good works? Amen? Well, we have to be provoked by His love for us. We love Him because He first loved us. Paul put it this way. You want to know where Paul's devotion came from? The dedication in Paul's life, where it came from? Amen. Paul said, "The love of Christ constraineth me." Literally, I'm compelled by the love of Jesus Christ to do everything I'm doing in response to that love. Amen. And he said, no matter what happens to me, I will never interpret it as God not loving me. I will interpret it as Satan hating me and the world coming against me. But I will never interpret as God not loving me. Because he knew keeping that in focus would keep bringing that love forth from him. And in that love reciprocating from him would come all that devotion and dedication that God required of him. Can you say amen? Amen. See, there's a scripture that is often misquoted because we leave off one of the essential elements of victory. And it's in Revelation chapter 12. And here's what it says. Amen. "Now is the accuser of our brethren cast down that accused them before God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony." Now, we're really into those first two dynamics that bring victory over Satan and self. But there's a third element that's essential to victory that we don't hear that much about. Let me quote it in context again. "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony." Now, listen to the devotion and the dedication. "And they loved not their lives, even unto the death." How did they come to that place of devotion? One thing for sure, it wasn't just Sunday morning emotional responses to the Spirit of God. It was something deeper than that. Amen. They were to the point they would lay down their life for Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. They loved not their life. One church in the book of Revelation under persecution, what Jesus told them? Amen. They were literally being killed for the sake of the gospel. He said, be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. This is not just a blood-bought gospel by Christ. It's a blood-brought gospel. We have it in its pure form because people died for the faith so that we could receive the faith in its pure form. And people are still dying in the 21st century around the world for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Most missionary efforts, especially to a lot of the real superstitious tribes that they took the gospel to, the initial people that went in were killed outright. Moody Bible Institute has a wall dedicated to the missionaries who were killed since it's been in its inception that they have sent, and they've died on a foreign field, killed, martyred for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But their commitment, their devotion to God was so strong, the next wave of missionaries, they gave them credence and they gave them credibility because they saw their commitment to their Savior and their love for them, that they were willing to literally lay down their life. Now, in America, we're in what is called the me generation and have been for several decades now. And I want you to know it's taken its toll. The gospel of me and bless me and what's in it for me has crept into the church of Jesus Christ until it's become part and parcel of false doctrine that is drawing tens of thousands of people to so-called churches this morning. It doesn't mean that there's nothing materially in it for you. God blesses our giving. If you can't read the Bible without reading that, He's blessed us. Amen. However, if I put a $25,000 chandelier in my foyer, there would be no place for the couch. I mean, it's just not that, you know. I don't expect to have a $25,000 chandelier hanging in my house between here and heaven. Don't need it. Amen. Just don't need it to be happy. Don't need it to be fulfilled. Have nothing to prove to this world. Not in competition with the Joneses. How did we ever get in competition? Who are these Joneses anyway? Can you say amen? Amen. We're not in competition with the world to show who's arrived. Amen. We're in competition with the devil. Amen. To plunder hell and populate heaven to win souls. We're in competition with the world not to become part of it. Amen. But to live apart from it and live by a different value system. Can you say amen? Listen to me carefully. God wants your heart. When He has your heart, He has everything you are. He has everything that you have. If He doesn't ever capture your heart, He has essentially the Church of Ephesus on His hands. A church that is biblically pure, doctrinally correct, that is standing up when people criticize them for their stand, but have lost the first love. And they're not loving Him back for loving them. It is a condition that is in no way representative of Him or His kingdom. And He says, under that condition, I'm not going to come in and tear the church down. It'll just implode after a while itself. What I'm going to do is remove the lampstand. Did you know your testimony without the Holy Spirit, amen, moving through you and touching lives is null and void, though it be 100% biblically accurate? Did you know people can detect whether you love them when you're telling them the truth or whether you're just defending, you're just wanting to be right? Even when right is right, they got a sense that you love them. And a lampstand, amen, is what gave that church an influence over the darkness of this world. The God of this world has blinded the minds of men, but that oil-fueled lampstand, amen, shined into that dark place. And they could have had a great harvest of souls. But they were so committed to their doctrine, so committed to their truth, that they forgot about the God that loved them, and they didn't love Him back. So into the church at Ephesus, you read the beginning of Revelation chapter 2. Can you turn to Revelation chapter 2 real quick? Amen. Revelation chapter 2. I just want you to read the commendations that they got in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 1. And to the church of Ephesus, are we there?
Yes, sir.
Amen. I need a reader.
Let Michael,
can you do that for us? Can you do it in a microphone? I want you to read that, and we're going to get right into this and see where we stand today. Hallelujah.
unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent.
Except thou repent. I will come to you when? Quickly. Evidently, that is one of the most intolerable circumstances to God, is to try to represent him without loving him from the heart. Can you say amen? Amen? To get committed to a right truth, to stand up when you're persecuted about it and say, bless God, I am right. I am standing on what the Word of God says. God is requiring more of you than just to be right when it comes to the truth of Scripture. God requires you to love him from the heart for loving you the way he's loved you. I want to provoke my wife to love and to good works. Amen? By doing what? By making sure that I express love to her. Amen? And then to pray that she will reciprocate. Amen? That I will reap, literally, what I've sown into her. Most people are sitting around wanting someone to just sow into them. Amen? The way to receive from God is you reap what you sow. There are a lot of people complaining, I just don't have friends. Nobody loves me. Amen. Listen, you will have friends when you start sowing into people, not just waiting and complaining about nobody not sowing into you. He will have friends who shows himself friendly. Can you say amen? Amen. So it's all about a sowing and reaping thing. God sows his love into us so that he can reap our love for him back. He expects us to give him something reciprocal. So in order to keep the first and great commandment, thou shalt love the Lord with everything you are and everything you have, amen, he wants us to receive primarily love from him. And then in a heart of gratitude, begin to love him back. Yeah. I've seen people preach without the love of God. And when you preach without the love of God, it just turns people off because they feel your harshness. They feel your condemnation. Amen. They feel your spirit is not embracing them. You're not ministering Christ to them. You're giving them the word, and the letter killeth without that lampstand. The letter of the law killeth without that light that shines in the darkness of the heart. But the Spirit maketh alive. It comes alive because of the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen to me carefully. We love him because he first loved us. That's how this thing is. Oh, and if a man love me, he'll keep my commandments. They won't be grievous unto him. He finds joy in receiving the word. He finds joy even in God's correction. He finds joy in serving God. He doesn't see it as an obligation, but an opportunity. Can you say, man, to show God how much we love him? Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to give in this offering. Thank you for this opportunity, amen, to witness to this man, this boy, this girl. Thank you for this opportunity, praise God, to mow the yard down at the church so we can have it looking good and inviting. Thank you for this opportunity to bow before you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to sacrifice if it comes to it. Thank you, Father, for the privilege of serving you. Hallelujah. I love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. That's how love operates. And when God has that, he has a willing heart to work with. And when he has a willing heart to work with, he has a piece of clay that's soft. He has a piece of clay that's pliable. He has a piece of clay that he can shape into what he wants it to be. And everybody knows what he wants it to be. For whom he did foreknow, he did predestine to be conformed to the image of his son. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. He gets your obedience because he's got your heart. I used to try to get away. The Bible said avoid foolish and unlearned questions, for they just gender strife. There are people at work when I was on the job, and now I'm retired and in ministry again, thank the Lord, full time. But they would bring up these questions, and I knew they were questions designed not to teach anybody. They were just designed to start one great big argument. And this happened recently to me, and man could see by my face, just don't go there. This is not the time. This is not the place. Let's just don't even go there. I'm going to be unresponsive. I will not enter into this. Amen. I believe that I'm able to biblically argue my point, but if I'm arguing with somebody that's got their mind made up, there's no point in spending the time and the effort. And the people watching us argue are not going to hear about Jesus. They're just going to see our conflict. And one thing I love when I worked for Tampa Electric years ago before I went into full-time ministry, back in the day, way back in the day, amen, we had a line crew. And we had a Church of Christ apprentice lineman. We had a Baptist, Southern Baptist Sunday school teacher for the line foreman. And we had a Pentecostal preacher for the equipment operator. We had all the ingredients for a great church war. I mean, we had, you know, we could sit down and everything was there. From any point of view, you're going to get a different point of view. Amen. But I remember my foreman, he was a big man, 265 pounds. He wore a bigger than a 12. He wore a 13, sounded like Big John. When he was 12 years old, he wore a 13 shoe. Amen. Well, this guy wasn't 12 anymore, but he did wear one. He had to get them special made. I don't think you can get 13 at Sears and Roebuck, can you? Or self-service. I never seen a 13. 12 is, he's a big guy. He's a big guy. But he had a heart. He had a heart that was so tender. And at first I didn't realize it, and you didn't even see that tenderness till you started talking about Jesus. But boy, you mention the name of Jesus, and you see his eyes start to water up. And you see that tenderness. I'll never forget Henry, Big Henry. Man, he said, I don't know nothing about them tongues and all of that. I don't know nothing about that. But I know that you love God, Preacher Bob. I know that you love the Lord, and that's all I need to know. And I thought, yeah, ultimately, that is what you need to know. I love the Lord. Amen. I met him about 5 years after I quit Tampa Electric. Christmas season in the University Mall. I remember coming down there and this big guy come running across the aisle and he grabbed me and picked me up. He's over, 6'4", something like that, 265 pounds. My feet went all the way off the ground. Amen. As he held me up and gave me a great big hug in the middle of the mall. I've had people I ministered to for years see me coming one way and they'd go the other way. Amen. And I thought, hey, what's up with that? Can you say, man, I don't know why. I'm not going to get on to anybody. Amen. They just didn't. Maybe they were guilty. I don't know. I had no problem seeing them. I don't know why they had a problem seeing me. But this guy, he just ran over and grabbed me. You know what he did? He worked with me in the hot sun on a line crew. Listen, I know there's doctrinal differences. We could never come together on. There's some error there that I believe needs to be corrected. But listen. One thing we had right. We started just loving each other in spite of the other stuff. And if you're ever going to win anybody to your point of view, you can't just, amen, just get the scriptures lined up. You got to show them that you really care about them. You got to love them in the Lord. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Well, he come over and he give me that big hug. And then he set me back down and he said, I teach a school for the young linemen that are coming into the company at Tampa Electric. And he said, every time we graduate a class out of my school where they're ready to go out onto a line crew, this was back then, I don't know what it is now. He said, we don't graduate a class that I don't tell them about the relationship that we had together. And I told them that when we started the day, that all three of us bowed our head and we prayed for God's blessing and God's safety. And he said, you know something? God took care of us, and I tell every graduating class, amen, how that we begin to pray for one another and with one another, and how the Lord took care of us, and how smooth the day went because we all called upon the Lord.
All right. Amen.
Now, friend, I'm going to tell you something. That's when ministry doesn't stay in the walls of the church. It's when it gets out and it gets into the culture and into society. I went out with Henry one day, and Henry had a short fuse. How many is God still working on in this room? Nobody in here God is through with. We're going to ask you to hit the altar if you think he's done with you. For that kind of pride, and he's not done with anybody. That's to say, I'm just like Jesus. I'm convinced none of us are just like Jesus. How many want to be more like him, though? More like him and less like we are. I remember one day I was out with Henry, and we'll hurry with this, but God wants your heart today. If he gets your heart loving him back, he's going to get your obedience. If he gets your obedience, he has a life that he can flow into and flow through. Others are going to be touched and others are going to be blessed because it won't be grievous. They'll look at you and say, boy, they're having such a good time serving God. Can you say amen? Amen. It's not like I thought it was going to be. Can you say, man, this don't look like I expected church to look like on Sunday morning. This looks different. These people are in love with Christ. These people love each other. Praise God. Hallelujah. These people are ready to love me. Hallelujah. And it makes a difference. We kind of left a reputation. They expected things to happen because I was a minister, and they knew that I was a minister, but I was still working for Tampa Electric at the time, and we were out on the line crew. We got on URD, Underground Residential Distribution, and we were making this pull over in Walden Lakes before there was a Walden Lakes. There was nothing but the lakes. We were pulling all the underground utilities, and I operated the truck. And we put this big cable underground. We hooked on to a big thing of underground cable. And we started pulling, and it got in a bind. I'll never forget it. It got in a bind. And I knew Henry. And I knew Henry had a short fuse when things went wrong. And he would tell you that himself today. That was one of his things that we prayed for each other for. And I remember that old reel was turning down at that other end. I'm pulling it underground, and it got stuck. Evidently, when we ordered there was more crooks in this thing, and we realized when we ordered the wire and it was cut to just the right amount, all of a sudden, amen, that thing got, and my old truck was shaking like that, and I'm pulling and I'm watching him, and he's giving me a signal, go, 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 and it won't come, and he says, no. And I know that fuse is running short, so I give it the gun to pull it on through. When I give it the gun to pull it on through, it sucked it down out of off the reel. It broke loose. In other words, it come too far my way. And I'm the one that has the reel. I'm the one that can pull it. I've got the winch on my truck. And it goes too far down. There's about that much sticking up. We need about that much to make up a transformer. And it's down in there, and it was so hard coming through. He says, stop. And I knew it'd pull too far. And I prayed. I said, Jesus, oh, Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me, Jesus. I was good at it. I was good at asking God for help. I learned that early on in my Christian experience. I'm still good at it. Can you say, man? I haven't matured to the place that my faith handles everything. My God handles everything. Amen. I cried. David said, I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. We got so many people bragging on their faith that ought to be bragging on their God. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. If a prayer is answered, it's not because of your faith alone. It's because of the faithfulness of your great good God and his mercy. I said, Lord, I did my best. And now, see, we can't pull that back out. We can't leave the wire in there. We can't pull another wire beside of it. We can't get it back out. I can't pull it through. So he got on the radio, and man, I could hear it in his voice. What happened down there? I said, well, you said to give it the... he didn't want to hear any excuse. He said, we're going to try to pull this back a little bit. Give me some slack. He knew we couldn't even get it through. How are we going to pull it by hand back? And I said, go ahead. And that's when I really prayed. See, there's praying. There's different levels of praying. Can you say, man? But when your hide is on the line, you tend to pray with more, it's not one of those embroidered prayers that you... You forget about eloquence and just holler, "Help me, Jesus." Can you say amen? Just "Help me, Jesus" goes a long way when it comes from the heart. And I just holler, "Help me, Jesus." And I said, "Lord, let him have that wire. Dear God, I don't want to go through." And it was for my sake, not Tampa Electric's. They could afford the mess, but I couldn't afford the pressure. And he took it like that, and I saw him. He said, and I pushed. And now, can you imagine? I'm pulling with a winch, and I can't hardly get it through, and my truck is shuddering. How are you going to pull something back that a winch can't pull through hardly? And all of a sudden, it jumped up about that far. And I'm sitting there saying, "Thank you, Jesus." Wiping the sweat and praising God. Hallelujah. Amen. It just jumped up. I knew God did it. He had to do it. They knew God did it. They knew God did it. Amen. So when he come walking down there, they'd made up their end. He walked about this, half a mile down to where I was, way quarter mile, whatever. He walked down there to where I was, and he said, "Well, we got it in." He said, "Now tell me the truth." He said, "You prayed, didn't you?" I said, "Yes, sir, I did." He said, "You couldn't get the wire through. There's no way we could pull it back by hand." He said, "I'm going to tell you what I believe." He said, "I believe God added 3 foot to that wire." I said, "I don't know how he did it, but he did it." That's all I was worried about. 2 years later, I was out with a lineman on a job. We got together with some linemen from Tampa to do a big job. And he came up to me and he says, "You worked for Henry King, didn't you?" I said, "I sure did." He says, "You prayed that day that God lengthened that wire." Yeah. Amen. Now, you know what? It wasn't my fame. Yeah. It was his fame that was starting to spread. Yeah. Amen. They really believed that if you get right with God and you love him and you serve him, and you serve others, and you pray out in the public arena. Listen, I was on this thing. If they see you doing it out of love, not just doing it, but doing it out of love, they pick up on that. It rings with authenticity. Amen. This man is not serving God because he's a preacher. He's serving God because Christ died for him, and he loves his master. And there's something real that comes through all of that. One day, the President of the United States called a National Day of Prayer. We were in a restaurant in Plant City, and there's another, I don't know why I always got on the crew with the big boys, me being so small, but I was on there with the big boy, and this guy, a big boy, amen, and he was tough as nails. Saw him cut his thumb one day almost to the bone, tried to get him to go get stitches, and he put a little something on it and bound it up, and it'll be all right. Big old thumb there and blood all over the place. And yeah, like this tough guy right here. Amen. He showed it to you though, didn't he? He had to show it to you. See, you got to show it to the woman and say, "Look what I did to my thumb." Amen. But this tough guy, and you know what he did? We're sitting in there. We're getting ready to go out, having our cup of coffee, going to go out and run some line. And he said, walked out to the truck, "Well, I want to talk to you." What'd I do? Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. That was my standing prayer. Help me, Jesus. Amen. So he said, "I want to talk to you." And I thought, I'm in trouble. I waited for whatever it was that went wrong to be laid out. And he said, "Bob, President said National Day of Prayer. I ain't never done nothing like this in my life, but I believe this nation needs prayer, and I know you're a man of prayer. I ain't much for praying. When we get out to the job, would you lead us in prayer?" I said, "Yes, sir, I sure will." Boy, all the way out to the job site, which happened to be between Mulberry and Plant City by Highway 60, I was praying, "Lord, Lord, you open the door for somebody's heart. I never dreamed this man would care about anything like that, and yet you're softening the heart." Praise God. And see, light shining before men is not about just quoting scripture and creating arguments. It's just loving God. amen, serving God from the heart. It shines when nothing else will shine unto them. I remember we got out by Highway 60 and we met a crew from Tampa, from communications. They're going to run with us and run communications table. They come walking up and he's leading this whole thing and we're going to have our tailboard to set it all up to work safely, know what to do. He looked at that crew from Tampa. He said, y'all don't have to participate in this if you don't want to, but we're going to pray before we start. It's a National Day of Prayer, and I've asked Bob to lead us in prayer. So you can either pray or you can go stand over there. They ain't going nowhere, you know. They just, okay, I'll stay here. I took my hat off.
Hallelujah.
They took their hats off, and we shared a prayer for this nation that God would bless her again. That God, we could be right with God in our hearts again, so God could bless this nation, bless our families. Ask him to take care of these men and their families, and as we do our job out here today. And we did that beside Highway 60 at about 8:30 in the morning with all the people going back and forth and the truckers going back and forth. We were out there in broad daylight acknowledging the Lord. Can you say amen by the road? Amen. Nobody said a word. It got dead quiet. They put their hats back on. One man from that communications crew, he had been back for a year. He had worked for Tampa Electric. He had went to Vietnam and served in Vietnam. He'd come back to work for Tampa Electric after serving in Vietnam. He came back and he said, and I'd never met him before. And he said, Robert, he said, I want you to know something. He said, in Vietnam, my job, was to take all those young men in those body bags and throw those body bags into a plane and bring them to a place where they could be then moved again to be brought back to America for burial. And he said, I handled so many body bags and I saw so much death in Vietnam. He said, I lost my faith. He said, I couldn't understand how a loving God could let something like this go on if he had the power to stop it. And he said, I just said, I'm going to forget this God business, this church business, this religion business. But he said, this morning while you were praying, he said, something has happened in my heart. He said, I want you to know I'm going to be in church with my wife Sunday. He said, I felt his presence here today. And I still don't understand, and I've still got a lot of questions, but I know he's real, and I'm not going to turn my back on him anymore. Amen. And friend of mine, I just want you to know today, amen, God needs people to love him for the right reasons. And the only right reason to love him is not what he can or does not do for you here and now, but what he's done for you, amen, on the cross that's going to affect you throughout all eternity. He wants you to serve him because you love him. Because if a man love me, he'll keep my commandments, and it won't be in a religious box where everybody says, boy, all of the joy of living is gone. No, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's not something to be consumed on ourselves, but it's righteousness, it's peace, and it's joy in the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen? Everybody say joy in the Holy Ghost. What would happen if people saw Christians experiencing true joy in serving Jesus Christ? Amen. It makes a difference. Just being happy. Happy is the man that hath the Lord God of Jacob for his help. Hallelujah. Reason I was so happy around Tico. Amen. Sunday morning, everybody else come in hungover. Monday morning when I came in hungover too. But my hangover was different. My voice was raspy from praising God and praying. Amen. I've been in the presence of his glory on Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Monday. Oh, hallelujah. I was still in that glory. Praise God. Hallelujah. I come in with a smile. Amen. Everybody else come in with a frown. Amen. They come in cussing and fussing. And I thought, oh, the joy of the party life. They come in with hangovers and headaches. They come in hoping their wife didn't find out what they had done. while they were out with the guys, living with the guilt and the possibility of other things happening. It was so good to come in with a clean heart. It's so good to come in with a clear conscience. It was so good to come in with a thankful heart. So good to come in with a grateful heart. So good to come in with a relationship with God and know that if I mess up today, He'll help me. He hears my cry. I love the Lord because what? He hears my cry. I love the Lord because He hears my voice. I love the Lord because He hears my prayer, turning His ear all the way to me. God is a spirit. God is invisible. How did David know that God was that loving and God would listen that intently? Because when David prayed, God came through and there was joy in that and love in that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Story never gets old to me. I've got to hurry and close with this. It's just God's loving kindness. We used to sing the song, "Thy loving kindness is better than life." Loving kindness. I'll give you a little theological exercise this morning. Kindness is giving someone a piece of bread when they're hungry. Loving kindness is putting peanut butter and jelly on it. Can you say amen? God goes beyond just giving us our immediate needs. God's lavish in His love. And He's lavish in His love because He wants to provoke us to love. So that we do what He's commanded and what He deserves. But we do it with delight. Remember when the Bible said, "Delight thyself in the Lord"? What happens? He will give you the desires of your heart. You know why? Because if you're delighted in Him, they will be unselfish and they will be selfless. Your greatest joy will be pleasing Him. You didn't get a house you wanted. Amen. You were telling me. You shared that. You were ready to move in and lost your job. Now you've got an option. Shake your fist at heaven or say, "Lord, You must have another plan." And if you've got another plan, it must be a better plan. Can you say amen? Because it's Your plan. And you can acquiesce and say, "Lord, show me Your will then." Amen. If this door closes, what's Your will? Or you can get mad at God and say, "Lord, that was going to be so great. How could You do this to me? Why did You let this happen?" Can you say amen? Amen. God wants your heart. He gets your heart, then you can cooperate with Him concerning His will. And when our will and His will comes in conflict, we acquiesce. Nevertheless, not what I will, what You will be done. And what happened to Jesus? Then did He groan? Listen, His groaning and moaning was in that garden. But listen, for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross while despising the shame. For what that was set before Him? The joy that was set before Him. I'm telling you, this joy in the Holy Ghost, the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Can you say amen? By the way, the Holy Spirit is the mediator of the presence of Jesus. So joy in the Holy Ghost is not just a liver shiver when all that power comes on you, but it's when a presence is communicated to you of a person. Can you say amen? Amen. Jesus is here. And the Holy Spirit mediates His presence. He wants you to know Him. He wants you to sense Him. Amen. Because He is in the midst of us. Praise God. We serve Him for the right reasons. I got to say this prophetically. I'm trying to cover a whole lot of ground. We haven't even broke into this outline yet. But listen to me. The great revival that God wants to send. By the way, a lot of flash in the pan stuff wasn't truly God's revival. Or it would have lasted. The leaders of it would not have fallen and failed. Amen. The revival God wants to send. Hear me clearly. Because of such reproach upon spiritual leadership. And there's a reproach now. And it can't be refuted. Because there's a lot of guilt and there's a lot of wrong. And don't try to defend what's wrong in the church. You'll turn people away from the church. You have to acknowledge it. I have to acknowledge it all the time. And turn people from the leaders that should have been setting the right example but didn't, that are fallen, to the Christ who died on the cross, who did not fail. I just tried to shift the argument. That man didn't die for me and he didn't die for you. That lady didn't suffer on that cross. Jesus did that. Our allegiance is to Jesus. Amen. Leaders shouldn't fall. They shouldn't bring a reproach, but sometimes they do. But Jesus is the one that we need to exalt and point people to. Can you say amen? I'm looking at people in here right now. Amen. God wants you to be part of the revival He wants to send. He wants me to be part of that revival. I'm going to go on record prophetically as saying this revival is not going to come through a multi-gifted evangelist, man or woman. I don't believe God is going to send it that way. I don't believe He ever wanted any individual on a pedestal. Can you say amen? Paul went and preached. He didn't preach himself and his anointing. He preached Christ and Him crucified. Can you say amen? Philip went down into Samaria and preached who to them? Christ unto them. Paul told the church that he ministered to. He said, I want to impart some spiritual gift unto you to this end, that you might be established. Not in Paul and his gifts and Paul and his ministry, but Christ. Can you say amen? Established means to be set at one with, made at one with. He said, I want you to know Jesus like I know Jesus. I want you to be able to pray and believe that God will hear your voice, that God will answer your prayer. I want you to overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil because you love God with all of your heart. Can you say amen? For loving you the way that He loves you. I want you to be established. Praise God. Amen. So I believe the real revival that we're praying for that can touch this nation is going to be a grassroots movement. It's going to begin in churches, amen, where people fall in love with Jesus because of what He's done at the cross. Hallelujah. I heard a preacher last night, don't know what station it was on. It wasn't the Moody, but it was some other one. He's an older guy, I could tell, and he says, you know, he said, I'm going to leave this meeting and I'm going to go to Greensboro from here. And he said, I'm going to get on a plane to go to Greensboro. You know the weather conditions are not real good for flying right now. He said, I'm going to get on a plane and go to Greensboro. And he said, one thing I don't want to hear is the captain come on and say, ladies and gentlemen, we're getting ready to take off and we're going to do something different. We're going to try something different this trip. He said, I don't want to hear him say, we're going to try something different this trip. Amen. I want him to do what is tried and true, if I'm going with him on the plane. Don't do anything different while I'm on the plane. Can you say amen? Listen, why do we have to have something new to have revival? Why do we believe we need something new? When Paul said, I don't want to know anything among you except Jesus and Him crucified. Everywhere you go in Scripture is going to point you to the cross. Amen. Preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But it's affected us different, hadn't it? To us who are saved, it's the power of God. And it's the gospel. And the gospel concerns what Jesus has done at the cross. It's encapsulated by that. It's good news, praise God. Amen. It's the good news of what Jesus has done at the cross. It always brings us all the way back to the cross. So I believe the revival that's going to come is not some progressive new revelation thing. I see red flags when I hear someone, because no prophecy, no preaching, no understanding of Scripture is of any private interpretation. You got the makings of a cult when you got one person got an inside revelation. Even the foolishness, He chose the foolishness of preaching to save them which are lost. And He's told us what to preach. No other gospel can anyone preach but that has been preached. So if it's new and different, let me off the plane. If I'm going to get on the plane, let it be tried and true. Let it be verified by the apostles. Let it be verified by the prophets. Let Christ's teachings be the chief cornerstone for the whole building. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. But how are we going to have revival with the same old, same old? Let me tell you something about the cross. It's never supposed to be the same old, same old. Every time we have communion, it says, remember me. Rekindle the flame of the first love. So many people got over getting saved. You wasn't supposed to get over it. You're supposed to grow in grace. You're supposed to grow in an understanding and in an appreciation of what he's done for you at the cross. What kept Paul devoted as he was? The love of Christ is demonstrated where? At the cross. What does it do? It constrains me. Compels me to serve him with all I have and all that I... Talk about loving not your life unto the death. Prophet came to Paul and said, bonds, afflictions await you in Jerusalem. He said, I'm not only ready to be persecuted, I'm ready, if necessary, to lay down my life. Their victory had a third element. Everybody buys into the blood part. Jesus shed his blood. And the word of our testimony. Say, people have a testimony. But the devotion that is so essential to victory, so vital to victory, only comes when we love him back for loving us so much. They love not their life, even unto the death. The little boy was asked if he'd give a transfusion to his sister. Been in an accident, lost a lot of blood. I've heard this story a lot of different ways. Don't know which one of them is just right. But it, before the day of blood mobiles and plasma bags and all of that, they would lay people side by side. They would hook up from one person's veins to another. She had the blood type, or he had the blood type, rather, for his sister. And, you know, he's like 6 or 7 years old, and she's maybe 8 or 10, and said, would you give blood, your blood? The doctor tried to explain it to save your sister. He said, yes, I'd be glad to. I love my sister. So he laid down. They rolled him in. They hooked up to his vein, to her vein, began to transfer the blood from him to her. Not enough for him to die, of course. And he's laying there, feeling a little weak, a little sick at his stomach. And he looks up with the trembling lips to his mother who's holding his hand and the doctor. And he says, when do I die? When do I die? In his mind, his understanding, when they said, would you be willing to give your blood to save your sister? He thought they were going to take it all to save her. So he's just asking a legitimate question. When do I die? Am I dying right now? I'm saving my sister and I love her. So when do I die? And of course they assured him, you're not going to die. You don't have to die to save her. But Jesus did have to die to save us. They didn't stop the bloodletting when he became sick and weak and faint. Continued to drain. Amen. And you know what God wants from his church Sunday morning in America? He don't want them in a line waiting for something else to motivate them. No. Somebody's gift and anointing to spill on them. That has a place, but it isn't first place, and it can't take, and it better not take this place. We're supposed to love him this morning with all of our heart because he loved us enough to hang on a cross that nails didn't hold him on. Amen. Can you say amen? How many know nails didn't hold him on that cross? Peter grabbed the sword. And when they came for him, he swung it to try to defend Jesus. Man dodged the sword, swiped the side of his head, severed his ear, and the man's ear fell on the ground. And Jesus said, put up your sword. In other words, God is saying, I don't need, now defend the gospel, yeah, but defend him. C.H. Spurgeon said, I would sooner defend a lion than to try to defend Jesus. He can defend himself. Can you say amen? Amen. One of the miracles of the Bible is that Jesus reached down and took an ear from the ground that had been severed and stuck it without super glue. Can you say amen? Right back on the man's head. It wasn't super glued on. It knit back together. Can you say amen? Everywhere you turn, there were surely this was the Son of God. Surely this was the Son of God. Things that said surely this was the Son of God. Wind and rain listened to him. Never a man spake surely this was the Son of God. Can you say amen? He said, if I needed defending, I wouldn't use you, Peter, your puny sword. I would call the armies of heaven. You know what one of his names is? He's the Lord of hosts. You know what Lord of hosts means? The commander and chief of heaven's armies. Say it with me. The commander in chief of heaven's armies. You know who's going to hang on that cross for you? Some poor. Have you ever seen Jesus in a picture that looked like he's a candidate for Geritol, that he needs some multivitamins, that he's pale and anemic looking? That's not who he was. Can you say amen? He's the commander in chief of heaven's armies. He said, listen, he said, I could call them. All I have to do is call them. Can you say amen? So nails didn't hold him to that tree. Amen. Soldiers didn't put him on it. Praise God. He laid down on it. He has the power to lay his life down. And he has the power to take it up again. He chose to lay it down because he loves you and me. And that ought to bring, we ought not be looking for something else on Sunday morning. We ought to be looking right back at that cross and saying, with everything I have, with everything I am, I love you. I thank you. That is the revival God wants to send to the church in America. If the only thing that stirs you up is somebody's anointings and gift, you're canceling the cross. The cross is out of your view, and the cross is never supposed to be out of your view. Every time we have communion, you don't just remember Jesus and his miracles, you remember Jesus and his passion. Because it's his broken body and he shed blood. Why is it over and over and over and over again the same thing? Because it's never supposed to be redundant. It's never supposed to be something that doesn't highly impact us spiritually and personally. Can you say, man? Going back to the cross, as often as you do it, remember me how? Remember him with a broken body and shedding his blood for us. Can you say, man? What's wrong today? We got over it. One preacher said we've been inoculated with such a mild form of Christianity. It's rendered us immune to the real thing. Honey, the real thing is not when you get a liver shiver. The real thing is when you get a heart so filled with gratitude and love for the one that died for you that you begin to passionately love him back. Hallelujah. And when people see that passion in us, it authenticates our walk with him. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And when they see the dispassionate, even though truth-based, religious attitudes, it just turns them off flat. Because they know if this is true, hearts should be melted before him. If this is true, people should find joy in serving Jesus. Everybody say joy in serving Jesus. Hallelujah. I don't want to just preach. I want to love my God. I want to serve him from a heart that's melted before him. And I want to serve him by being kind to people out in public life. Caring about them. I want to be nice to the lady at the cleaners who lost one of my garments. One guy sued the cleaners for... Oh, it's in the millions. It was $3 to $5 million because they lost the pants to his suit. They finally found it to be a frivolous lawsuit and they threw it out. But he was a lawyer. And they lost his pants. Or judge. He was a lawyer. Lawyer. They lost his pants. He sued them. Not only for the, $1,000 for the pants, I think he said. I don't know where he get his pants, but... wherever you pay $1,000 for a pair of pants, I want to know where it is so I can avoid it at all costs. No need going in the door and even looking at them. Amen. I don't want no pants. I don't want to drop no mustard and ketchup on no pants that cost $1,000. Can you say it? I want to enjoy my hamburger. And then for the emotional stress of losing his $1,000 pants, he asked about $3 million in damages. And they were saying, we're sorry, we'll replace them, we'll do this, we'll do that. Nothing to please him. Take it to court. Amen. Unappreciative. Here's a lawyer, man. You can buy more pants. I mean, but if you're a Christian, you just be patient with people. Be kind to them. Be nice to them. It goes so far. I mean, kindness. Everybody wants anointings and revelations, and they don't have the realization and revelation that just being an authentic Christian has such an impact on people's lives. Amen. I was in Subway last night picking up Matt, one of his special all-the-ingredients Subway sandwiches to take home to him. There's this guy in there that, you know, he always kids me about my age. And he's got some tattoos, and he's a big guy, and he's a Hispanic guy, and he worked behind the counter, and he's got this big old chest. He used to work out with weights, and he's in his maybe 25, 26 years old. And he said, there he is again, there he is again. And, you know, and he's always talking about my baby boy, Matt, being 36, going on, you know, my baby boy going on 37. And we just have this interaction, this conversation. And one time I went in, he's out of the bread that he said, boy, he usually gets it. When he's all working by himself, they cut him back and they ran out of bread, you know. And he usually somebody's jumping down his throat because they don't have the bread that they like. And he's just trying to deal with it. But he went in, didn't have the bread we liked. And I said, wheat will be fine. I mean, you know, when they've been to Haiti, as many times as I have seen people that didn't have no bread at all. Amen. Wheat bread will do if you don't have the other bread that I like. Honey oat. If you don't have honey oat, wheat will be good. We can get by with wheat. It's going to be rough. We're here in America. It's going to be really rough. Amen. But we can take all that good meat and vegetables. We can have that old wheat bread. Amen. Rough as it's going to be, we'll tough it out. But we try to be kind to him. You know, just be kind to him. But everybody's got this attitude of ministry. It's an amazing thing. And amen. And one time I told him, I said, today I don't want, because I always get the same thing, mustard and mayonnaise, mustard and mayonnaise, mustard and mayonnaise, mustard and mayonnaise. I said, today I want to do something different. I said, today I'm going to live on the edge. He said, you want jalapeno? I said, oh, no, I'm not on that. I'm not going that far. Just, he said, I want mayonnaise and honey mustard. He says, oh, you're really living on the edge today. I said, man, you don't know the half of it. I said, let me tell you something in confidence between me and you. And he leaned over the counter. I said, back when I was younger, I said, you know, on those pillows, those tags that say do not remove under penalty of law, I yanked one right off of it. He says, ooh. He said, you do live on the edge. So we developed this rapport with one another. So last night he says, by the way, he says, what do you do? I said, I'm a preacher. See, he never dreamed that. I said, I'm a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Just celebrated 36 years of pastoring in Tampa. Still pastoring. He says, and you're not one of those rich ones, are you? I said, no, sir. Not in terms of the wealth of this world. I certainly am not. Amen. There's a different rich. Amen. My rich is in my peace, my joy, my appreciation for what I have and who I know, praise. I didn't tell him all of that. That was all him. But he knows that this guy that's been coming in with joy and peace, and he couldn't believe I was 63, not because I don't look it. I know better than that. But because of my joy, amen, my kindness. It's not really mine. This is a product of someone else who lives in me. This is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I don't believe the revival that's going to touch this world is going to be based on gifts of the Spirit. I believe it's when the church brings forth the fruit of the Spirit, which is the character of nature of Jesus Christ, that they're going to begin to listen to what we have to say. And then the gifts of the Spirit is going to verify the truth. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. But it don't start out with anointings. It starts out with a character that's being shaped and changed by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. So my good brother at the subway has been softened up with kindness and patience, which is a fruit of the Spirit. And now he knows why that patience and that kindness is forthcoming. Amen. And it's because of Jesus. Hallelujah. Wow. God is so good. So your light shines without really trying, just letting God be God. You love him. And you serve him because you love him. And it begins to impact people. You become a city set on a hill, which cannot be hid. That means you're witnessing without even trying. One thing, I'll close with this. Our time is gone, which doesn't mean anything because we have no time limit. But we're gonna be merciful. We all have to do other things. And listen, one of the great saints of old that was given credibility for his personal witness of being a godly man, he was mentoring all of these young men. This was back in before the turn of the century. He's mentoring them. And they said, we can't wait. As you teach us the scripture, we can't wait to go out and witness for Jesus. We want to get out there. You know, everybody wants to go and be a witness for the Lord. So he said, okay, today is the day. And they went out, followed him out, and they started walking early in the morning through the village and the town. And they walked, and there was a man loading a wagon with grain. He said, let's go help that guy. And they went over and they helped these young men, three or four of them. And they threw that grain up in that and said, have a nice day, sir. We pray. He said, thank you, guys. Thank you so much. I'd give you something, but I took everything I had for the guy. You don't know us anything. We're glad to do it for you. They went on a little further, and there's another situation where a guy's trying to move this heavy stove in his store from one side to the other, and him and his son are working with it. They can't hardly get it to budge, and he says, give him a hand. And they jump in and they push it on over. They just keep looking for somewhere that they can go and do something kind and good for somebody. They just do it, and they do it, and the time is now being eaten up, and the day is almost gone. Amen. They make the whole circle, and they're on their way back to the house where they were all staying. And they get back to the house, and they said, when do we witness? And he looked at them and said, we just did. Can you say, we just did? This world doesn't need another definition of Christianity, a theological argument, even biblically based. They need a demonstration of it. And if we ever get them to open up to who we are and who we're following, then we can tell them the story of his love, his grace, and his mercy. Amen. I want to win that big guy with the tattoo that used to pump iron behind that counter. I want to win him to Jesus Christ. Can you say, man? I don't want to just buy sandwiches from him. I want to win him to God. Praise God. I want that lady at the cleaners, amen, when I go to the dry cleaners, to have a good experience when I come. Amen. And to know if something went wrong, I'm going to cut her some slack because my pants don't cost $1,000. Amen. If you lose them, I can go right down the road and replace them. I mean, you know, you stand up for what's right, but this idea of just being rude and crude and expecting that we carry a Bible, we're theologically correct, don't impress this world. But love breaks them down. Kindness kills them. They're not used to it, and they respond to it. So the revival that's coming, the real one, the churches are praying for, that true Christians are praying for this nation, I believe it's going to come when Christians love God back for loving them. They love not their life unto the death. They find satisfaction in just being saved. Hallelujah. If you will love me for loving you, others will see it. And they will see me in you and through you. And they will ask for a reason for the hope that is so visible in you. And you can tell them about me. And together we will reap a great harvest, saith the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. 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 Are you want to go through 2010 sitting in a church doing the same thing? Or do you want to be effective for Jesus Christ? Are you looking for something to stimulate you? Are you going to let the Holy Spirit show you the greatest love that there can ever be, the greatest stimulant there ever was or ever will be, is the cross of Jesus Christ. That's why he said at communion, when you're focused on my broken body and my shed blood, every time you do it, remember me. Repeat it over and over and over. I used to sing that song, I keep falling in love with him, over and over and over again. Sean, at your wedding, I prayed, first time I'd ever used that term. If you want a marriage that lasts, it's two people falling in love many times, but always with the same person. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. I keep falling in love with Pamela. Sometimes I look, she's short, it's hard to see her in a department store. Amen. I'm so glad she's short because she makes me feel tall. And I'm 5'6", so God picked the right woman for me. Can you say amen? Praise the Lord. But I'll look for her little head sticking up over, you know, that big heads I don't look for. I look for the little head sticking right up over the aisle. And I don't tell her this, so I'm telling her this morning, praise God. I'll look for that little head sticking up. And I take for granted, you know, that we're going to meet up again and we're going to go eat and go home or whatever. But sometimes I just think, what if I couldn't see that little head right there sticking up down that aisle? That I, you know, for 47 years almost, I've been looking for that little head sticking up down in the dress department. Amen. Just, that's all I need to see is just from here up. And I know that there she is. That's her right there. Amen. It's all I need to see. And in my heart, when I see that little head sticking up, I start feeling again. You know, what would I be without you? Where would I be without you? What could I enjoy? We're going to go have a meal together, and it wouldn't. I'd sit there by myself. Amen. And you say, well, you could get somebody else. That not like her. Not like her. Amen. She's one of a kind. She's a help meet for me. Not a help mate. A help meet. That means someone designed by God for this preacher right here. Hallelujah. Help meet for me. Praise God. Amen. And you know what? I fall in love with her again. And again. And again. And again. And you know what I want when I go to church? I want something said while I'm there to make me want to fall in love with Jesus all over again. Can you say amen? Because all the other stuff without that, sounding brass, tinkling cymbal. Faith to move mountains. Guess what mountains I'm going to move? The ones that I have an ulterior motive for moving. Won't just be to help people, it'll be to help myself. Lavish it on myself. I want the authentic, the genuine, the real. Praise God. And I want to see the real revival in America where people walk in the door of a church and feel an overwhelming sense of the presence of God. Can you say amen? Not the presence of an anointed preacher, but the presence of the Lord himself. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Will you stand to your feet? I'm going to ask you how many people in this room this year in 2010 would like to come to the place of devotion in your heart that you would love not your life even unto the death. How can we ever preach dying to self and taking up your cross if we don't preach loving God to the degree that we would be devoted enough to do that. And obedience that brings joy and not pressure, pleasure to your life. Amen? The joy of the Lord has to be our strength in these last days. God is shaping people for His glory and His honor. And I feel it happening in here. And some of you, He's been, I don't know what sandpaper He's using on you, but several grades. Starts with the coarse stuff, doesn't it? And they work down to the fine finishing stuff. Well, I get a sense this morning while I was preaching, even though we smiled a lot, that most of us are getting the coarse stuff. Can you say amen? But be it known, if you'll let Him use that on you, He'll keep graduating down to the finishing stuff. Praise God. All right. We're going to pray together, and then we're going to seal this prayer right here. God has been so good today. Amen. Will you play number one?